Hi, I'm Logan, and you're listening to Higher Ed Social. This week, Jackie and I are taking a break, but since it's new student orientation season, we decided to rebroadcast episode 27 with Tom DeRoma. Now, Tom is the Assistant Director of Student Involvement at Lynchburg College, and in the episode, we talk about the weather, because, you know, we go off on tangents, but then we talk about real stuff like student orientation, Lynchburg's unique Hornet Days, which introduce students to campus, and we also talk about time management, which is important for us and for students. So we hope you enjoy this rebroadcasted episode of Higher Ed Social from 2015. Have a great week.
Person that was born in Syracuse and then moved to Long Island with his parents.
I'm so sorry.
Hearing the upstate downstate argument is like listening to Bills and Jet fans argue about which team is better. Neither team is
Bills,
better.
The Bills are better.
Last I checked, they both lose.
As a native Buffalonian,
What does it matter? It's all sports ball anyway.
As a native Buffalonian, we are the better team. Listen, being a Bills fan is a great, great time. So, what is your football team then?
I was originally a Washington football fan, but I'm thinking about making a shift in my fandom only because...
To the Bills, the superior team.
They better be paying me money to do that.
They don't pay.
I thought very carefully, and I didn't want to seem like a fair weather fan, so I'm going to jump on the Oakland Raiders bandwagon.
Okay, interesting move.
That's a little jump.
Especially considering your relocation, but...
I can't be a Ravens fan. I just can't do it. I won't.
I would probably judge you. I don't even really know you that well, and I would probably judge you.
That's fair.
Aren't they the purple team? Aren't they like Ravenclaw?
They're the Ravens. They're the one with the raven as the mascot.
Formerly the Bills. No, Colts. Sorry.
No, yeah, they were the Bills.
Sunday.
But the Bills, I mean, being a Bills fan is just fun. Like, I was just having this conversation earlier today. It's about the culture of being a Bills fan. It's just so much better than, I don't know. Not that I've ever been a fan of any other team, so I guess I can't really say that it's like the best experience. But when you see someone else in a Bills shirt, it's like an instant connection.
Shared misery.
Yeah, it's great. And we just drink the pain away. That's all we do, really. So I had to, this is not related to anything. I had to get blood work done the other day. And you know how they like stick like 400 feet of that tape that doesn't come off on you?
Mm-hmm.
It's like still got the residue. So I just look like this grossly unclean person. But it's like all the residue, I can't get it off. Like what do? You scratch it off? It just hurts.
Or you could just wash it.
I did. I was in the shower for like an extra 10 minutes trying to get it off.
Why don't you Google getting tape residue off your skin?
I could Google
You know,
it.
We live in this world where this thing called the internet tells us all the answers that we really need to know.
We have the technology.
You don't have to. See, in this day and age, most of your smart comes from not the regurgitation of facts, but knowing where to find them and how to use them. Is the cat doing something?
I left my water bottle on top of her scratching post. I don't know if you can see it. Where is it?
Yes, I see it.
And I didn't realize that she was going to come in and start like scratching at it. And I was just watching it. I was waiting for it to fall, but it didn't fall. So hopefully she doesn't do anything weird. She just coughed up a hair while it was really gross.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. But luckily she did it on the tile, so it was easy to clean up.
It's not usual for a cat.
No, she likes to go right on the carpet. Like, oh.
Usually. I mean, wouldn't you want to throw up in the most comfortable place?
I guess.
I mean, you don't go outside on the concrete and throw up, do you?
Unless I'm hammered. Then yes. Do you have any pets, Tom?
I do not. The place that I will be living does not allow me to have pets, but hopefully one day. We'll see what happens.
Got it. Mike's heartbroken.
Hi, Tom. Welcome to the podcast.
Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
Ta-da.
So why don't you introduce yourself?
So my name is Tom DiRoma, and I am the assistant director for student involvement here at Lynchburg College in Virginia. I got this position. I was offered this position in early May and started 2 weeks ago. And this has been the culmination of my student affairs journey. I applied for this job through TPE in January and had a interview down there. And a few weeks later, I had an interview on campus and absolutely loved it. And, you know, things just fell in the right place and I was able to land this job.
Yay! Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Where did you earn your master's?
I went to Indiana University of Pennsylvania and I studied student affairs and higher education. And that was actually, IUP was a school that was not on my radar when I was applying. But I contacted the director of student life at SUNY Oswego, who I had worked with during my undergrad. And he said, "Have you thought about IUP, Indiana University of Pennsylvania?" I was like, "What state is that in? I'm not really sure." And he's like, "It's in Pennsylvania, but it's got a weird
name." That's a really valid question.
Yeah, well, if you ever want to trip somebody up or you ever have kids and you want to send them to California, quote unquote, you could send them to the California University of Pennsylvania, too.
Really?
Yeah.
On a vacation. And
oh, yeah.
A very cold vacation.
In Western PA. but he said that he had a great experience there, and I applied, got into the program, and I went to assistantship day, and I was actually driving up to Canisius in Buffalo that same day for their assistantship day, and my dad texted me and said, "What do you think?" And I said, "Regardless of whether I get an assistantship here or not, I want to come here." It just seemed like a good fit. It seemed like the kind of school I wanted to be at, and unfortunately, I didn't get an assistantship there, but you know, went to school there anyway and was able to secure a position within the Office of Social Equity as the Student Outreach Program Coordinator and worked specifically in social justice and advising diverse student groups and had a outstanding opportunity to work in assessment as well and advising curriculum development too. And then that opened other doors too. I was a graduate assistant in our military resource center for a semester, which was a nice experience working with student veterans and, you know, doing side things, working in career development. We were responsible for two practicums. One of them was in orientation and the other one was in fraternity and sorority life. And I was just able to build enough experience and enough content knowledge to really use a lot of that to my advantage, especially at, you know, TPE and during the job interview process.
Cool. So I'm going to, you know, take the piece of that whole story that totally isn't relevant to your professional development and talk about the fact that you were at SUNY Oswego and geek about the SUNY system and the fact that you're in Buffalo, my hometown, because I graduated from Geneseo and grew up in Buffalo and now I'm over in Albany. So this is where we can talk for like 20 minutes about snow, because that's pretty much all upstate New Yorkers do is talk about snow and the bills.
And as we were talking, like all of these towns are like 3 hours away from each other. You know, but there is really more to New York than New York City.
Yes, Logan. Yes, there is. There's Oswego on the lake. There's Buffalo.
What lake? There's like 100 lakes.
Exactly. Lake Ontario, the biggest one.
There's the lakes with the fingers, and then there's the lakes that are kind of eerie, and then there's the lakes that are have some Canadian name to them.
There's Niagara Falls, which isn't, I guess Niagara Falls would probably not be considered a lake. That would probably be considered a waterfall. Also known
as two waterfalls.
That is true.
One that's Canadian and one that's American.
Canadian with moose and mounties. But yes, upstate New York is a fantastic place, but it sounds like you're going to have warmer weather now that you're in Virginia. So maybe I'll come and run away and visit you because it is cold.
I'll tell you what though. My 2 years in Pennsylvania. Now, I had grown up in Syracuse and I had lived there till I was 14, and then I went back to Oswego for my undergrad, Pennsylvania not only was colder, but it snowed more than anything
else. What? Than Oswego?
Oh, yeah.
But Oswego's like literally on the lake.
Oh, I know.
That's crazy.
My first year residence hall was like a stone's throw away from the lake, and it was cold, don't get me wrong, but January of 2014, it was minus 20 degrees at night, and my pipes froze and burst and wiped out my apartment.
Oh my gosh.
And, yeah.
What
and then
part of Pennsylvania were you in?
Indiana is about 2 hours east of Pittsburgh, so western PA.
Okay. But wow.
And that was during the polar vortex, too, where it was during the day it was minus 10. Yep. And then the winter of 2014 and 15, it was just as cold. Like February, it didn't get above 10 or 15 degrees the whole time.
Wow, that's so interesting. Yeah, I didn't know that.
Absolutely miserable.
Well, if you live closer to a body of water, the body of water tends to mitigate some of the cold temperature. While you will have higher levels of moisture, i.e. more snow, you will have colder temperatures. That's why the more inland that you live from, say, the coast, you're going to have more variances in temperature. When you live closer to a body of water, especially an inland sea like Lake Ontario, which is not really a lake, it's an inland sea, you're going to have more of a temperature kind of mitigation there. So the difference between night and day is going to be a little less. That's why the Pacific Northwest, you know, during the wintertime, it gets down to the 40s and 50s, even though they're at a latitude similar to that of New York, which is in the negatives.
And where were you when I was applying for grad school?
Yeah, I was going to say, this was such a good lesson that I learned.
I took oceanography. I have a minor in geology.
There you go.
When I learn things like that, I realize how little I know about the world. Like,
but see, that's why you get so much more snow in Buffalo, but your temperatures are typically warmer than, say, Minnesota, which is at the same latitude that you are. But since they're farther inland, they're getting more temperature variance, so it's getting colder. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, makes sense.
Huh.
And that would, of course, I could be wrong because we don't know what the temperature in Oswego was when you were having the polar vortex. It was probably just as cold, if not colder.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
But they were getting more snow.
Mm-hmm.
Right, because they're on the lake.
And also you have to understand that more than likely they have more clouds because they are getting more snow. And that'll actually keep it warmer. The more clouds you have, the warmer it will be.
I guess I never thought about that.
It's those clear nights that cause all the cold.
Get really cold.
It's what it's called. It's called radiative heating, I believe. That's what it's called. I could be wrong.
Huh. Another science lesson on the Higher Ed Social Podcast. This is like the third.
Radiative cooling. I'm sorry, not heating. I'm losing my mind.
Gosh, Logan.
Because the heat radiates away.
Well, I just learned something. So thank you for that. Now, all I know though is that I need to move south because I'm silly and stay in upstate New York all the time. But the weather's been okay up here. I mean, now that it's summer and, you know, I wore long sleeves today in July or in June, but, you know, normal things.
Yeah, summer is only 4 weeks away in central New York.
And it lasts for about a day and then it turns into fall. Yep. But that's exciting that you're down in Virginia.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I moved down here about 3 weeks ago. And every day I've been here, I've found something new that I like more than the day before. And I was really surprised by the area too, because I didn't realize how big the city of Lynchburg was until I got here. It's actually around the metropolitan area is about 70,000 people, so there's a lot going on here. Richmond is, you know, 2 hours away. Charlottesville is an hour north. Roanoke is an hour to the west, and Charlotte is 2 or 3 hours away. I'm not really sure, but everything is within driving distance. But I mean, I've found so many things here to do. It's it's an interesting city. It's pretty fun.
Mm-hmm. That's good. I was just about to ask, like, if you've seen any cool things so far around campus. So,
No, I mean, campus is pretty quiet right now.
Right.
Lynchburg College is about 2,500 undergraduate students. And we're going through student orientation and registration right now.
Yeah, we just finished ours.
Oh, really? Nice. Yeah. And we have three sessions, and our last one will be Monday and Tuesday of this upcoming week. And it's really nice to meet the students that are coming here, too. But also we have Randolph College that used to be Randolph-Macon Women's College across town, and that's a small liberal arts college as well. And then on the other side of town, we have Liberty University, which is
only getting
bigger too.
Yep, it's huge.
And I mean, now that they're letting all of their online students come to graduation, their graduation in May and in December is probably going to be, you know, 3,000 or 4,000 or 5,000 people there. So
wow, that'll be really fun to plan. Are you a part of that? You're probably not a part of that planning process.
No, that's Liberty University. I'm not affiliated with them.
Oh, right, Liberty, got it.
I wish them the best of luck in planning that weekend. That should be fun.
It's always stressful. We had a couple talks about that in our podcast, but now it's like I can't believe it's already orientation and like registration. It's crazy how fast it goes.
Oh, yeah. Summer's almost half over. Well, in your case, it hasn't started yet.
No, if I go by strictly the weather, summer vacation is like a day and a half. But... you know, which would actually be funny. No, no one would attend school in the Northeast if that's how vacation was dictated. But at the same time, your winter break would be like 6 months long. So I guess it would balance itself out.
It wouldn't end until May 20th.
Right. Yeah. You get your spring semester would actually start at the end of May and it would go probably until August.
Well, here's another Oswego fact. The end of my first year at Oswego, I was moving out of my residence hall. I looked out, and we were right on the lake, too. And there was still ice on the lake by about 75 yards.
Wow.
Mm. And it probably just started to get nice around the end of April. And I was moving out May 16th or 17th.
Mm-hmm.
So it was interesting to be walking around when it's 75 degrees and you walk over to the lake and it's still covered in ice.
And it's still winter. Wow, that's crazy. Did you try to walk on it? That's like super,
no,
super safe.
No, you get they make that very clear when you go there that if you are caught walking on the lake that you'll probably be either suspended or expelled. Yeah. Only because the lake is so violent in the wintertime that when the lake freezes, it creates these like air pockets. And if people are walking around on there's a good chance you're going to break through one of them and fall in.
That's so scary to me to think about that. Oh,
yeah. Nah, I'm good on it. It's cold enough. I don't need to be swimming in January.
Yeah, underwater. Ooh, so scary. I get anxious like thinking about it. That's terrifying. But it'll be nice and warm down in Virginia.
Yeah, and they told me that it snows, you know, once or twice in the winter here. And they normally close. The city shuts down if it's going to snow, and it normally doesn't, so... that'll be a nice little surprise.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't even know what the weather is normally like in Virginia.
It's pretty
temperate.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Hot summers, you know, cool winters, cool to cold, actually, in Virginia. Where here it's cool and hot.
Yeah.
We've talked enough about the weather.
Yeah, I know. This is probably the most we've talked about weather.
So, sorry. So, you're pretty new to this position, right? So,
yeah.
So, what do you like about it so far? Like, what's what attracted you to the position, and kind of are you doing anything cool and fun starting out while you're in that fun honeymoon period where you get to ask for, you know, forgiveness more so than, you know, ask for permission?
I haven't been able to get that opportunity yet, only because, you know, there's nobody here. And it's a lot of just meeting with different people on campus. But what really attracted me to the position was the opportunity to work with fraternities and sororities and student activities. And that goes back to January when I started applying for jobs. And as I said, this was the first job I applied to through the TPE website. And I stopped looking at institution size and location. And I just looked for a job that really stood out to me and I really liked. Mm-hmm. And even in my undergrad, I was like, wow, I really wish I'd have the opportunity to work in Greek life. But at that point, I was finishing up student teaching, and I was like, I don't know if that would work out. But I took 2 years off from undergrad, and I really kicked the idea around even more. And I found this job, and I really liked the opportunity to work in a student-focused position.
Mm-hmm.
I really appreciated the opportunity to not only meet with students on a regular basis, but be invested in their development from the time they come to Lynchburg College to the time that they graduate.
Oh, that's great.
I really appreciated that, even in my even at IUP too. But unfortunately, that was only 2 years, and I wish I could see students that I worked with continue to learn and grow. But unfortunately, I'm not there anymore. I guess that's a good thing, though. I mean, if I was there for a third year of grad school, it's probably not a good thing.
Yeah.
I think once you start that third year, you're moving on to the next, you know, level of degree, which I guess would be what, a PhD?
They're putting a few extra letters in front of your name at that point.
Yeah. After your name.
You just collect them.
Can't forget that. You can either have two letters at the beginning or three at the end or both.
Take them both. I paid for them.
Yeah, just stack them all on. Put them on everything you own, like business cards and all that. You got to do it.
Dr. Tom, MED, PhD. I don't know. What is your master's degree in?
Master's of Arts in Student Affairs and Higher Education.
Ah, okay. An M-A-S-A-E.
S-A-H-E.
H-E.
Higher Education.
Ah, yes, Higher Education, which is in the title of this podcast.
There you go.
Woohoo! We tied it together. That's all, folks. Thanks for listening.
That's a whole lot of that's a whole lot of letters.
Yeah.
Is that really what you put at the end of your?
No, you could probably just get away with MA.
Yeah.
Honestly, people mess up my last name so much anyway. I'd rather just them have it simple as it is. I mean,
because you have the double capital letter thing going on.
Yeah, and people call you on your phone. You know, hi, is Tom DiPomona there? Is Tom DiPlimico there? I'm like, you can't mess it up any more than you already did.
You don't even have a P in your last name. How does that happen?
They don't know that.
The worst I ever get is that, like, this mispronunciation of it. So, like, Vetrano, or they'll stick an extra N in there, Ventrano, but nothing that terrible.
Yeah, sorry. That's because you have a normal name with great that's easy to pronounce, unlike Lugan Bishop.
Bishop's easy. Lugan is...
That's what's funny is, like, in every college class, every semester, I always look forward to that first one because I'd say, are they going to go for it and think, there is no one in this world that I've ever met named Lugan, but I've met a whole lot of people named Logan? Or are they just going to call me Bishop?
Ah.
And I found that the best professors that I ever had always went for it and said Logan.
Yay.
Because success. Really, who would name their kid Lugan? Like, seriously.
Listen, there are a lot of wacky names out there, I will say, that shouldn't be names. So you never know.
You never know.
I get to see a lot of student names over at Merit, and some of them are definitely different. They're definitely unique. Like the celebrities that name their children after inanimate objects. Like apple and blanket.
I was just going to say that.
So anything is possible. That is for sure.
Do you have something against Michael Jackson?
No, I just have a...
Are you saying that he can't name his kids right?
I'm just saying that personally...
I mean, he could have named her Slanket or Snuggy, and at least, you know...
If my parents named me Slanket, Snuggy, or Blanket, I would be very upset with them for my lifetime. So that's all I'm saying about that.
Be a lot of therapy with that name.
Yes, that is true.
I think that kid's going to have a lot of therapy for a whole lot of other reasons other than their name. But we're not going to talk about that. We're not going to talk about that on...
the higher ed social. It is neither higher ed nor social.
It's a little social, you know. It was relevant news years ago.
It's been a crazy week, so who knows?
It's true. That is true. Lots of things happening in the world, which we can go into if we want to. But in terms of, I was going to ask you a question about orientation. I forgot exactly what I was going to ask you, of course. But do you guys have orientation like leading up to classes? So sometimes schools will have like just that first week blocked out and students will come and then they'll stay on campus and go to class. Or do they do like a little session and then go back home and then come back on campus?
We do something that's kind of a hybrid of both, really. So we have three sessions of orientation. We had two last week, and we have one coming up. And then we have there's extended orientation for some students who didn't get a chance to come to any of the sessions during the summer. And that will happen right before school starts. We also have, and this is not necessarily for new students, but we have a leadership summit that students attend before classes begin. And we also, we have transfer orientation right before it starts as well.
Nice.
And we have a variety of opportunities for students to get involved early. Our first day of school is August 20th. But leading up to that, we have something called Hornet Days, which is a whole bunch of different events and opportunities for students to not only connect with their friends that they met in years past, but also connect with other students, the professional staff, and the faculty as well. And it's a great way to get students involved again and introduce the new students to the opportunities that we have on campus, but also to help those incoming first-year students to at least feel a little bit more comfortable around campus and develop that student identity.
My phone just freaked out. Apologies for that, audience.
Anyway, I love having those things. I'm glad that's awesome to hear. And it's fun that it's called Hornet Days. Normally it's just like student club and activity fair.
We call ours Bruinlink Fair.
What do you call it?
Bruinlink Fair.
Bruin Link Fair.
It's where Bruins link.
Link.
Actually, Bruin Link is a portal that we use to connect students with organizations.
That makes more sense.
Okay.
So we call it Bruin Link Fair to help further the Bruin Link brand. And it's a fair. And it's really cool because I have like a little space at Bruin Link Fair for the Boulevard team. I'm actually really excited about this year because I actually have some cool stuff to say. Like, this is what the Boulevard team did last year. They tested a mobile app. The ones that stayed here for the summer got to ask questions during a mayoral debate. I mean, all kinds of cool things. So
that's cool.
Yeah. Nice.
So, Tom, you're probably, like, super, like, got to ramp up for that since you're doing all this Greek life stuff, right?
Yeah, and I've been fortunate enough to have some students who either live in the area or are participating in student orientation and registration. I've had an opportunity to meet with them for an hour or so and talk about some things specifically because I'm new to this position. I'm not only new to the position, I'm new to the college, I'm new to the state, I'm new to the region.
Yeah,
and I'm new to private colleges, specifically small colleges. I mean, Oswego is 6,500 students, 6,500 undergrads, and IUP was 11,005. So this is a transition for me as well.
Mm-hmm.
But really hearing what their expectations of me are, what challenges they're going to have in their positions, but also their personal challenges for the semester, whether it's one student I talked to, she wanted to get a 4.0 for the semester. And then we have a conversation, okay, how are you going to do that? And one of the things I hear the most is time management.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And especially being on a small campus like this, I mean, not only being in different clubs and organizations, but students, they take pride in their academics here, and they want to make sure that they're leaving on a high note and not only being active in their organization, their chapter, but also leaving a strong academic legacy behind them as well.
You know, I've noticed that about our students as well at Belmont. They're very, very driven towards that academic success. I haven't seen that many students that have been like, D is for diploma, or any of that kind of stuff.
C's get degrees.
C's get degrees, exactly.
Yeah, I haven't heard that in a long time, actually.
Yeah. I was going to ask, is what's one thing, Tom, that you're like kind of anxious, nervous about, considering you're at a very different institution than one you've ever attended?
Honestly, I think just a culture change. Not only coming from a public institution, but moving to private college, I've heard a lot from the students, like, you're going to have some pushback from people about changing the way that they do things.
Because we've always done it that way.
Yeah, I've heard the word tradition thrown around a lot, too, and it's not necessarily a tradition per se. I told this to one of the students that I met with, like, what you call tradition now was a quick fix 20 years ago. Mm. And no one ever said, okay, well, it's not working. And I am all for college traditions and the traditions that Lynchburg as an institution has, but as like a fraternity and sorority life community or as a student activities community, what does tradition mean to you necessarily? And if you want to maintain tradition so much that you lose the value of it, you need to change something else. And that's one of the things that I'm talking now specifically with some of the students that I'm working with, because Lynchburg College was asked by the city to move our May 2016 graduation date up a week because Liberty University is having their graduation on the 15th, I believe, and that's when ours was supposed to be. But as we were talking about earlier, Liberty is graduating 7,000 or 8,000
people. A lot of people.
And it's easier for a graduating class of 500 or 550 to move as opposed to 7,000.
Right.
And there's been an uproar by the students because they're losing 3 or 4 days of school, and for the graduating seniors, they wanted that time to spend with their friends and things like that. And there's been a lot of people that are upset, and they're throwing the word tradition around.
Mm.
But I mean, it could have been totally different 4 years before they came here.
They don't know that.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So.
Wow. Interesting. Yeah, but I can see the anger. You watch, you know, the people before you have this great time and it's established, and then for it to change for you.
Higher education is becoming a little more volatile than it used to, especially with everybody says Sweetbriar, but now it's what?
I don't remember the name of it.
Marion Court.
I forgot where.
Yeah, on June 30th is when they'll close. They have their website, Notice of Closure. The Board of Trustees of Marion Court College has announced plans to close the college as a result of insurmountable financial charges. The college will close on June 30th, 2015, which is next week. Or actually, it will close
already happened.
Because, you know, time travel.
from the future.
So crazy, because their website is still like, they still have an admissions website. Start the application process. I mean, everything's still up.
It will be ripped down soon.
And that's actually another thing. Living so close to Sweetbriar, too, has been the outpouring of support from Lynchburg College, too.
Yeah. Is it Lynchburg taking students from Sweetbriar?
Yeah. So a majority of them, we didn't take a lot. Hollins College took a significant amount. Randolph College took some as well.
Mm-hmm.
And other students went other places. But, I mean, living 20 minutes from Sweetbriar, just walking around in the town, there's a place where if you buy a specific cheeseburger at this one place, they donate $3 to the Sweetbriar Fund. and everyone's wearing Save Sweetbriar shirts. It's an interesting experience being here and seeing that, especially because, you know, this was something that we followed pretty heavily in my graduate program in the spring semester, was why is this place closing? And I guess there's a little bit more shady stuff going on too, as to why it closed or why it was supposed to close. But I remember reading a quote that one of the supporters said that, you know, this isn't like the dog that finally caught the car. There are people here that know how to drive the car too.
Huh. Interesting. Wow, we'll have to follow that development. I didn't realize
everything. Well, I've heard that they raised enough money to keep it open for another semester, but I don't know if that's actually going to happen.
Yeah, well, that's the other thing too, is now that they raised, I think $12 million was the number that I read.
Mm-hmm.
But at this point, everyone has transferred out.
Right. So that's why I'm like wondering why the school's even, why anyone's even trying anymore. Everyone's already left.
Yeah, I mean, if I was a senior there, it makes sense to stay for one more year. But what about if you're a junior or a sophomore? Are you going to transfer back in, and then they say, "Yeah, we don't have the money to make it work." Now you have to transfer out again.
Right. So, yeah. I agree. If you're an underclassman, you're not close to finishing your degree, so you might as well try to honestly save your money and start, you know, somewhere new.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. That's very interesting. We'll have to follow that.
Yep.
Development. You'll keep us posted because you're right there.
Try to.
Very cool.
I think that's all the time we have for the show today.
Probably. Well, thanks, Tom, for being on the show. We really appreciate it. And congratulations on your new job. So exciting.
Thank you so much. And thank you for having me on here. It was a nice opportunity to talk to other professionals too. I've been following the podcast for a few weeks now, and it's always a good laugh when I'm walking around the track and I need something a little goofy and a little zany, but I appreciate it nonetheless.
That's what we go for. My mom is probably laughing too, and I'm sure she appreciates that. So thanks for listening. So listeners, thank you for listening as well. Don't forget, you can listen to all of the Higher Ed Social podcast either on our website, highered.social, or you can find us on iTunes. Don't forget to subscribe. And of course, as always, if you want to be on our zany, goofy, crazy podcast, definitely reach out to us, either to myself or Logan directly, or on Twitter. You can follow us at HES Podcast.
Thanks for joining us.
Thanks.